The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. And if you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
It's a joy to talk about mothers and our moms and to think about it. And for those of us who still have our moms, it's a good time to make sure we see them, talk to them if they're in a far distant city, and make sure our mom knows that today is special. And it's for those of us who have lost our parents, whether it's 5 years ago, 20 years ago, or just this year, like some, it's always a tender thing for us. So I wanted to talk about how mothers influence us, all right? And the scripture that I've chosen is from Proverbs chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. And this is the New Living Translation. I just like the way it said it. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. My child, listen when your father corrects you. Don't neglect your mother's instructions. What you learn from them will crown you with grace and be a chain of honor around your neck. Isn't that interesting? You know, what you learn from them will crown you with grace and be a chain of honor around your neck. More times than I can count, the scriptures admonish us to honor our parents, to pray for them, to obey them, to listen to them. And one of the things that I usually tell teenagers in the Ephesians, where it talks about husbands love your wives and wives be so that they, at the very core of who they are, there's a mom and dad someplace, you know, for those who still have them living or those who have lost their parents. But that's the bulwark, the linchpin of all of our lives. It's our parents, our family, our friends, our friends mean something to us, but the tie of a mom and dad and brothers and sisters is an amazing tie. I found something that I want to read to you. It's written by a lady by the name of Margaret. There are enough women who are rude. We need women who are refined. We have enough women of fame and fortune. We need more women of faith. We have enough greed. We need more goodness. We have enough vanity. We need more virtue. We have enough popularity. We need more purity. Well, isn't that great? Yeah, man, what a powerful statement that is. And boy, I just couldn't agree more. And as the years go by and our world turns coarser, I guess one of the things that probably stuns me more than anything else is to hear some of the things that women say today that we just would have unheard of when I was younger, not that many years ago. The coarse language, the joking around, the conversations that at one time we just would never, women wouldn't even say that among themselves, much less when men were around. And that's always something that kind of bothers me. And we need a change in motherhood, because children need mother. Nobody was that intimate at that time, and that wasn't that many years ago. And then today, I mean, it's just going another direction. And I'm saying that not to bring a negative tone to what we're saying this morning, but the value of parents who will set some standards and help children set standards will last not only through their lifetime, but it'll last through their children's lifetime. And if they will follow that, We can change the course of things. I saw a video many years ago when they were building, I believe it was Hoover Dam, one of those big dams in the nation, and that this river had to be, they had to change the course of the river in order to be able to build the dam that they wanted. And you would look at that and say, that's impossible. They can't do that. Took them years to do it. It took them as much time to change the course of the river to get it out of the way so they could build the dam as it took to build the dam. And so it may be difficult, but you can change the course of things. It can be done. It takes effort, it takes willingness, it takes energy, but it can be done. Many mothers have abandoned their children for fame and fortune. Now, I'm probably going to make somebody angry, but I don't mind making people angry. You know, it'd be better to live a less affluent lifestyle to have mom home raising kids than it is to have a better lifestyle and have mom out in the workforce. See, I'm an old school dude. I think mom ought to be home. I think she ought to be there for the kids. When the kids are gone, I think mom can have a career and do whatever she wants to do. And maybe some of you didn't follow that pattern, and I'm sorry, I have a disagreement. Now, if there's something wrong with daddy and he can't make a living and mom needs to work, I mean, that's another story. But there's just something about having a mom around for children and not having the pressures of work and having all the things that happen at work. The workplace is many times not a good place for women. They come under the dominion and the authority of people that they ought not be under the dominion and authority of. Ungodly men and women who tell them what to do, you know, in a way that and abuse them in ways that they shouldn't be abused. So I'm all in favor of moms staying home. Now, I realize that this group that most of you pass childbearing age and you don't have any little kids, but, you know, we got a bunch of grandkids that need to be influenced, you know. If you don't have a child of your own that you're still rearing, we got grandkids that... And sad to say, a lot of our kids aren't doing a very good job of raising our grandkids. You know, so maybe it's the time for grandma and grandpa to step in. And look, I am very sensitive to my children. And I don't want to rule over them. But you know, occasionally, grandpa has to tell his kids something that they forgot or they don't realize what's going on. And if I'm accused of being a nosy granddaddy, I just say, yes, I am. And I just, the last time I was in Florida, I had a conversation with my daughter. And it was difficult for me to say, but I saw some things. And it's just something she didn't realize was going on. And I told her, I said, I'm not trying to run your life, but I want to show you something. And she received it. She's a good girl, and she received it. So, you know, if you have that heart-to-heart talk. I love what Bob Lambert told his son one day when he said he was wanted to talk to him about the Lord. And Bob said, I have the right to talk to you this way. I brought you into this world. And I have the right to talk to you that way. And I always admired that about Bob, that he did that and spoke to his son in a way that others would shy away from. So we need to get a change of direction of motherhood back to children. Mother's Day is not just about being a mom. Mother's Day is about children because it's the influence. As Pat said a little earlier, you know, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. And that's true. That's not a truism. That's not a make-believe saying. That's a fact, Jack. That's the truth. And we're going to talk about that some more this morning. But let's look at just a couple of things. A mother's influence us about God. We're going to take this scripture, we're just going to kind of go through it step by step. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. The best place to learn about God is at mama's knee. That's the best place where mother can gently bring up the subject and get a child to begin to understand abstract ideas about God. I was pleased last time we were down in Florida, and my granddaughter and they let her pray at a meal. You know, and sometimes she's just 8 years old, so she's not all into Heavenly Father, thank you for the great life you've given. You know, it's, you know, thank you for the eats, you know, just kind of, but she's got it going. And this time she sang, thank you, Lord, for everything. And she hit this little tune. I thought, where'd she get that from, all right? Well, she probably got it from her mother, you know? But so she sang the blessing at the meal, which I thought was interesting. But mom needs to know God so that she can tell the children about God. Now, I know some of you, because of your testimony, You didn't raise your children up when they were little in a godly home because you didn't know God yourself. And so you didn't do it. So when they were maybe 10, 11, 12, 13, teenage years, you try to, you know, retrofit that. It's hard to retrofit, but you can do it. You can have an influence. And to tell your children about God and about God's ways. Now, you may think, well, they'll never listen to me. They won't pay any attention to me. Just like when they were little and you told them not to do something, you thought their minds were a million miles away, they'll listen. They will listen. They will hear you. And if you have to, grab them by their little necks, you know, and make sure that they understand what you're trying to say. Moms who let their children learn about God on their own will raise little heathens. And I know people have done that. Said, well, I don't want to press my child into believing the way that I believe. I'll just let them learn on their own. What idiocy. The greatest gift God can give you other than salvation is the fruit of your womb, a child with your DNA, or give you one that's adopted and entrusted, you're entrusted with that child, and to say, well, I'm just going to let it go along, you know. Well, you know, if it doesn't want to wear clothes, don't let it wear clothes, you know. Just let it do whatever it wants to do, you know. Let it sleep in the yard if it wants to, you know. Let it eat or not eat, you know. Don't bother to wash its little face. You know, you wouldn't do that with a child. Why? The most important thing that a child would know when we decide just to let them figure it out for themselves. They'll figure it out, all right. They'll be worshiping sticks and stones, and they won't have any relationship with God. And I know that the modern thought is, well, I don't want to force them to be like me. They need some force, brute force. Sometimes you got to force what you want done. You've just got to say, you know, it's the old joke. People say, well, as a kid, I had a drug problem. You know, my parents drugged me to church. I'm guilty. I drugged my kid to church. When we were in church, she was in church. That was Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and any other time something was going on. Now, and I'm not picking on you, but some of you are not very good about being in church every time the doors are open. You know, well, I'm tired and I work hard and all that. Give me a break. Nobody on this planet has worked harder than I have in times and travel, and you're tired and you come home from a trip and, you know, you get in late Saturday night. I've driven home at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, but when 7 o'clock hit, I'm up and ready going to Sunday school, you know, because it's important. And when you bring kids up that way, even though they sometimes will drift away from it, and we're going to teach about this in a few minutes, I believe that they'll come back to it. You can't leave them to themselves because they need a foundation. And the scripture is talking about foundation. They need a foundation. The foundations of all value is the knowledge of God, knowing about God. Now, my parents messed up. When I was just a little tyke, my mom and dad went to a church. And my little cousin and I, we were pretty much the same age. We used to sit on the front row of the church. We used to get those big, what do they call those big round candies? Jawbreakers, that's it. And we used to suck on jawbreakers in the front, you know, and the preacher was talking about stuff, and who knows, he wouldn't pay much attention, you wouldn't think. But my mom and dad were there, and my cousin and I were there. Well, my mom and dad decided, I guess, somewhere along the way that they didn't want to go to church anymore. So they quit. And then they used to send me with my cousin to go to church. And so Gail and I would sit in front and we would have our jawbreakers and messing around like little kids do in church. But we were there. They didn't have children's church back then. I mean, you were in church. And one day I was getting ready the Sunday morning. My mother got me up and she said, you got to get ready to go to church. And I said, you know what? If you don't need to go to church, I don't need to go to church. I quit. And wasn't much they could do about it because they had egg all over their face, and they knew it. And I quit going to church. And I didn't go to church for many years. But fortunately, my little neighbor next door, who was a little boy I played with and went, you know, we got dirty, played with cap guns and did all the stuff little boys do. And on Sunday morning, he would go to church. And he said, "You want to go to church with me?" I said, "Sure." And so I started going back to church because of a little boy who invited me. It was my mother and dad's responsibility. They didn't do it. It's God, in God's divine providence, as it turns out, my mother and dad got back in church because I started going to church. Talks about a little child will lead them. Sometimes a child will lead them. So it was because I started going back to church, my mother and dad went back to church. So they need that foundation. They need to know what's right and wrong. I hate to say this, but when I say this all the time. People don't have a moral compass anymore. Sometimes you just got to tell them what's right and wrong. They don't know. I was counseling a couple who were getting married who were living together. And during the counseling session, if you're not married and you're living together and you want me to marry you, first thing I tell you, you got to stop sleeping together. You know, if you bought a house together, somebody's going to be on a sofa, all right? But that's just my rule. That's just what I do. And so I began to talk to him about this area. And this guy was a professing Christian. And when I said, you know, when I read the scriptures to him about immorality, you know, it's what they shouldn't do. And she looked at him and she said, "Did you know that?" And he said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, why didn't you tell me it was wrong for us to be sleeping together?" She didn't know. She wasn't raised in a godly home. The lady didn't know. Now, you would think people would innately know. Her conscience had been seared over by the lifestyle she lived and where she lived. She didn't know. She was mad as a wet hen because he didn't tell her. So the point is that you need to tell people, especially children, you can't do this and you can't do that. They need to know what's right and they need to know what's wrong. And moms, you're the best avenue to get that information. Actually, mother and dad together, but it's Mother's Day, so I want to talk about moms. They need the ability to recognize the truth, and you can bring that truth to them, all right? Children will build a family just like their own. They will. If they're in church and mom and dad lead a godly life, they will build the same kind of home. One of the things my dad did for me, God rest his soul, I told him this countless times when he was alive. As soon as I see him in eternity, I'll tell him the same thing. Dad, whatever I am, it's because of you. You gave me a vision. My dad had a fourth grade education, but he gave me a vision. This is what he used to say to me all the time. "Son, you can do better than I've done." He told me that over and over and over and over again. He told me so many times I believed it. I so far exceeded what my dad did in life from a worldly perspective, it's not even measurable. But I did it because my dad taught it to me. It's teaching those values when children are young that will permeate their very being. And you can't say it enough. Pat and I went to a conference one time, and one of the things that the conference teacher was, he kept repeating himself. And he taught us a thing that I didn't quite understand. He said, you can never over-communicate some things. And you need to keep repeating them and repeating them and repeating until they finally become a part of whoever it is you're trying to teach something. And I've learned later in life that that's true when you teach. That's why I do things in multiple fashion around here. That's why I give you my notes so you can write. You can write it. That's one thing. You can see it. I put it up on a screen, give you a visual, and then I speak it. I know I'm over-communicating, but it'll help you remember. And it's the same way with kids, telling them the same thing. It's okay, Mom, to say, "How many times have I told you that?" If there's no counting. We just keep until they finally figure it out. Schooling about God is not the responsibility of the government. I know, and I'm guilty of this sin. You know, it's the government's fault. You know, they took prayer out of school. They took the Ten Commandments out of school. And that's true, they did, and it's a terrible thing. But the responsibility is not with the government of the United States. The responsibility to teach about God is with moms and dads in a home, not somebody else. I can't imagine what kind of God the government would create to teach us about, or teach our children about. It's not the responsibility of the church to teach your children and your grandkids about God. It's the responsibility of the family. The church just supports what parents do. That's what we're here to do. The Sunday school teachers, that's what they're here to do, to teach children and reinforce what you're teaching them at home. It's not the job of society to teach our kids about God. We can't say, well, somebody else is going to do the job, because they won't do it, they won't do it right, and it possibly won't get done at all, and your children will never have a good basis for God if they don't learn about it at home. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
I'm telling you the truth. All right. Mothers teach us as we grow. Verse 8 in Proverbs 1. My child, listen when your father corrects you. Don't neglect your mother's instructions. I'm going to leave that up on the screen for a little bit. Moms set the stage of instruction in various age groups. That's what my mother did for me. I remember things. I know I wasn't the smartest guy in school, but I remember a lot of things. My mother had to go to the doctor one time down in New Orleans, and she didn't drive, so we took the city bus, and we went, and she was, I guess we were a little early or a little late, I don't know what the deal was, but there was a little cafe that she took me to eat, so just her and I. And when we sat there, I don't remember how old I was, but I was old enough to remember. I picked up a fork like I normally picked it up, like this, and I stabbed whatever was on my plate, and I went to gouge it in my mouth. And my mother said, that's not the proper way to hold your fork. This is the way you hold it. And she showed me how to hold a fork. She said, that's the way you eat when you're out in public and at home. See, she realized that it was okay at home. It didn't bother her. But when I was out in public and I looked like a little urchin, she decided to do something about it. And I learned that day how important it was to hold a fork correctly. A little side story to that, many years later when I was the vice president of a corporation down in New Orleans, a computer company, we had some guys from England who came over who had a similar business in England, and they were doing a tour to the United States to learn about how we did things here in America. And took them out to lunch, and when I had two hands, I was able to do it. I can't even do it anymore. But I, you know, had a fork and knife, and I picked up the fork and held it, you know, took my right hand, put the knife in it, cut the meat, put the knife down, put the fork over in this hand, and, you know, ate with my right hand like I used to do. And later in the day, I asked him, I said, is this your first trip to America? And he said, yes. I said, you know, what amazes you? First thing, they were amazed at how new everything was. We were in the French Quarter in New Orleans, one of the oldest places on the planet, and they thought it was all brand new. He said, oh, no, man, we got some thousands of years old. This stuff's new. And he said, the other thing is, I don't understand why you guys eat like that. I said, eat like what? He said, why do you pick up the knife, cut the meat, put the knife down, change the pork to the other hand, and then eat? I said, it's simple, because if I don't do it that way, my mother walks in and slaps my hand. I don't know why we do it that way, because Europeans eat differently. They hold a knife in one hand and a fork in the other. My mother would define that as being an urchin, all right? So, but that's what Mom taught me. So, as a child, she taught me that. She taught me how to say yes, ma'am, and no, sir. You know, and if I wouldn't have said it, I promise you, I'd have got a slap right in the face. I know it's not in vogue, but that's what would happen. You don't talk to people that way. Heaven forbid if I ever said something to my mother, my dad happened to be there, and it didn't have a ma'am at the end of it. I promise you, I've got the scars to prove that, all right? You learn that. My mother taught me how to treat a girl on a date. You know one of the first things my mother told me when I dated? I'm going to tell you. This is a fact. She said, keep your hands to yourself. That's the first thing I remember my mother told me when I was on a date. She said, just keep your hands to yourself. And I still remembered it. And I honored that. I mean, I knew. Of course, I was an only child, so I hadn't been around girls very much. I went to all-boys school, so my mother helped me with that. You know, just keep your hands to yourself. Don't be touching girls. And as a result, I always honored girls when I went on dates. Any mother who entrusted her daughter to me was well taken care of, not because I was such a good guy, because my mother and daddy would have killed me if I'd done anything wrong. I learned from that. age appropriate, taught me the things I need to know. And we just don't do that. If you don't do it, they won't know. If you don't teach them, they won't figure it out. In fact, what they'll figure out on their own won't be the same. You know? So doing those things. And they taught me how to live in this world. Taught me how to get along with other people. I know it's Mother's Day, but some of what my dad taught me is really important, because I used to be intimidated by people. And my dad, who could sit with kings and guys in the plant, said this. He said, "Morris, everybody puts their pants on one leg at a time." That's a teaching mechanism to not be fearful of other people, because there's a commonness about us. You know, we're all human beings, and don't let people intimidate you. Those are things that are important that need to be taught to children, to bring them up in instruction so that they'll know. Proverbs 22:6 says this, "Train up a child in the way he should go." Should, S-H-O-U-L-D, in the way that they should go. They need to know the way that they should go, not the way they want to go. "And even when he is old, he will not depart from it." I believe there's a link, a chain link, between honoring God and living right that comes from the cradle all the way into adulthood. And even when kids, and I don't know why they do it, I guess maybe it's just the way it is, when they drift away for a while, I believe with all of my heart they'll come back. And I've got testimony after testimony after testimony I could tell you about that happening. So, children will grow without you, but they will glow with you. You can make them glow. You can make... When I went someplace with my folks, they never had to worry about me doing things that would be wrong with somebody else's house. I would never go into somebody's refrigerator. I would never ask anybody for food. I learned that from my mom. Today, kids come in the house, they rip the refrigerator off, they got the little grubby hands in there getting whatever they want, and they eat. They go wherever they want in somebody's house. I mean, that's a learned behavior. It's teaching children how to live a life that has honor in it. Honoring other people. Respecting other people. I realize that not everybody had that privilege of having good parents. I had wonderful parents. And it really impacted me. I am a product of my parents. I didn't always do the right thing, but it set a formula for me that kept me doing the thing that I very seldom ever break, even those little rules that I learned as a kid about asking people for things or going into something. I would never come to your house and go to your refrigerator without asking. To this very day, I just wouldn't do it. And I learned that from my mom. But if you don't have a godly mom, if some of your urchin children won't raise your grandkids right, Grandma and Grandpa, you do the job. Take them away. Bring them home. Let them spend time with you. You can't go to the house and see the kids misbehaving and then try to correct them while they're there. That won't work because you're not there long enough. You got to get them for a little while. And you know what I've discovered? That many of the death of a grandma, when people come up to testify, grandchildren get up and say, "My grandmother taught me this. I learned how to do this from my grandmother. It was my grandpa that showed me this." You still have an impact on your grandchildren, whether you realize it or not. And you can make a difference in their lives. Okay? All right. Last thing I want to talk about is mothers untie the apron strings. What you learn from them will crown you with grace and be a chain of honor around your neck. What you learn from your parents will be exactly that. Mothers who don't let their children go create a welfare state. You got to let them go. You got to let them go. My mother had a flaw. It was a good flaw in many ways. She loved me dearly. She was my biggest fan. Other than my wife, she was my biggest fan. I mean, she just loved me and would have done anything for me. If she was a disciplinarian, or if she couldn't discipline, she'd turn me over to my dad. I mean, so they did all the same. But my mother wouldn't learn to turn me loose when I got older. When I got in my late teens and my early 20s, mother held too tight. And you know, the scripture says that there comes a time when a man leaves his father and his mother, all right? And it was time for me at that age to leave my father and mother. I didn't necessarily have to move out of the house, but I was getting old enough to make decisions on my own. And mom didn't want to turn me loose. And she held too tight, and I broke the band. I broke it. I literally just began to rebel against my mother and just do what I wanted to do despite her trying to hold. And it caused a lot of conflict between me and her, so much so that it took us years to repair that. And we did repair it, but only really after I came to the Lord that I actually went back and realized that I needed to repair that the way I had treated my mom during that period of time in my life. So a good mom and dad knows how to let the kids go. When you get old enough, let them go and let them, if you train them right when they're little, they're well equipped to go into life and make decisions. Will they make the right decision all the time? Absolutely not. Because sometimes, you know, the old thing, the best way to know that the stove is hot is just touch it, you know? We've all learned that way. And the best way to learn about some things in life is just to touch it and to learn the hard way. Children learn to be adults when you begin to treat them like adults. Start letting them, you know, carry their own. For instance, my mother and dad didn't need any money from me, but as long as I lived at home, from the time I had my first job when I was in fifth grade till the time I left the home, I gave money to my family. I did. That was the rule. You give money to your mom and dad. And that was a good thing. It taught me some things about money. But they treated me like an adult. Pat and I were talking with one of her schoolmates at the reunion last week. And he was talking about raising. They had a blended family. His kids, her kids, and kids they didn't even know just showed up, you know. They had kids all over the place. And whenever the kids, you know, got to the place where they needed to know who was in charge and they would go to their room, he kept a screwdriver and a hammer nearby. Knocked the pins out of the hinges, take the doors off. He said, "You can't take my doors off!" And they had boys and girls. "They'll stay in here, you know, you can't do that." And he said, "It's my door." And then he actually did that. And he said, "I'd keep the door for an hour a week, depending on how long the infraction was, until they finally learned who was in charge of the house." And I thought that was pretty good, you know? You know, you treat them age appropriate. You want to act like a child, I'll treat you like a child and take some of your privileges away from you. Children learn to make good decisions when they fail. You keep hitting yourself with a hammer, pretty soon hit with a hammer, pretty soon you'll say, "Maybe I shouldn't do this. This will hurt. This hurts." So letting them fail is not a bad thing. I know we try to overprotect our kids. And I know the tie that wants to do that, but you do the kids a favor by just let them fall, let them fail. I remember one time I wrecked my daddy's car. It was a new car. And I drove it off, and it was my fault. It was both our faults when I got in the wreck. And the car was drivable, and I brought it home. And the front end was all crinkled up. And I was shook, and I came in, I was crying. I was probably 19 at the time, 18 and 19. And I was going out on a date. And I said, I'll call somebody to pick me up and, you know, to go. And he said, "No, take the car and go." And I said, "Yeah, but I just wrecked your car, and I'm nervous." And he said, "Drive the car." He said, "If you fall off a horse and you don't get back on the horse, you'll never ride it again. Take that car and go." And boy, that did a lot for me. It scared me. I mean, I drove like a little old lady all the way to where I was going, scared to death. But I learned to fail. My dad didn't punish me. He was age appropriate. It was an accident that happened. And he taught me a valuable lesson to get in the car and go on from there. If children won't work, there's an admonition in the Bible. they don't eat. You don't feed them. When they're old enough to work, get jobs. It may be little menial jobs, but let them get jobs. You know, my wife is a shining example of this. She came from a large family. She wanted to go to college. People talk today, oh, I got this big college debt and all this stuff. She worked her way through school. She paid her own tuition. Her mom and dad didn't have the money for her. In fact, one of the things that really irked her when she graduated, her dad gave her a $100 bill. She told me later, of course, I didn't know her then. She said, I want you to give me the $100 when I was in school. That's when I needed it, not when I graduated. You know? But she didn't run up any debt. She worked her way through school. No, so it doesn't hurt kids. And say, oh, well, it's too hard on them because they have to study and work. Let me tell you what, they'll live through it. You know, they learn to work. They learn to pay their own bills. They learn about not getting into debt. You know, that's all those things that are taught. So it doesn't hurt a child to work. And a good parent teaches their children to work. My mother taught me to work. Mommy worked me. They took all my money. They were cruel. They go to jail today for what they did to me. Great mothers teach their kids to fly on their own. Comes a time you just got to kick them out the nest. It's time to fly, baby. Time you're on your own. Let children fail. You watch from the sidelines and you may cry and you may be a nervous wreck, but the best thing you can do for them is to let them do it. When you teach them to ride a bike, you hold the back of that seat long enough until they start getting their balance and you turn them loose. And they're going to fall and scrape their knees and bust their heads and all those things, but it's okay. They'll learn how to ride a bike and they'll learn how to live if you let them fail on occasion. Great moms stop nursing them so they can feed themselves. Mothers shouldn't over-nurture their children. Age appropriate, you know? Let them be able to take care of themselves. It's your room, you clean it. You know? It's your turn to do the dishes. It's your turn to mop the floor. If they won't work on the outside, make them work on the inside. Great moms stop providing so that kids can learn to provide for themselves. One of the things that I have, this I don't know that it's unique to me, but it's my mindset. I've never worried about money in my life. Money has never been a worry for me. You know why? I know how to work. I can work all through my life. I never worry. People worry about, what if I lose my job? I never worried about it. I can do something to feed myself and take care of myself. When Pat and I got married, one of the things that I told her, I said, you never have to work. If you want to work, you can. But I prefer you to stay home with the baby. But we will never live on the money you make. We live on what I make. That's the lifestyle we have. It's the lifestyle I can provide for you, not the lifestyle you can provide. So we can take your money, we can invest it, we can save it, we can spend it, we can do whatever you want. But as far as this house is concerned, I provide for it. And I did that for my wife. And it gave her the time to be a good mom and spend time with her daughter. And she never had the pressures because, and where did I get that from? Got it from mama. I got it from daddy. When I decided to go out on my own, I knew that when I got married and had my own family, that it was my responsibility to take care of my wife and children. And I've always done that. Always had that mindset. But I got it at home. I didn't get it in school. I didn't get it from the government. I didn't get it from anybody but from mom. Grandmothers, if your kids aren't doing that, teach that to your kids. I thought about this, and I want to kind of close with this. With Jesus' mom taught him everything he needed to know. I know we have this deity idea of Jesus, and I don't want to diminish that. But remember, he grew in stature and in favor with both God and man. Mama taught him how to hold a fork. Mama told him how to zip up his pants. Mama told him how to put his shoes on and tie them, if they tied his shoes, I don't know. You know, but he learned that from his mother. And when the time came, Jesus even said this, and this is a principle. When she tried to, you know, interfere in something, he said, did you not know that I need to be about my father's business? See, every child, God has a plan for them. God has a goal for them. He's got things that he wants them to do. And good parents help them fulfill that goal by turning them over to God and trusting them. Jesus' mother did that for him. God had a plan for Jesus, and she let the plan unfold. She watched him fall under the weight of the cross. That would have to be a horrible sight. I mean, I know some of you see your own children go through some really hard things. But you watch. But they fall under the weight. But if you've taught them properly, they'll get back up. They won't stay down. They'll get up. And when I say all this, I don't mean to say that we divorce our children where we don't help them. There are times we can help them. We can help them financially. We can give them a start. But they need to learn to take care of themselves and not depend on you. You know? In fact, but the old joke is when people buy stuff, buy cars and houses and all this stuff, say, I'm spending my kids' inheritance. You know, I'm going to spend it so they don't have, now don't be dependent on what I'm going to leave you. You know, if things go right, well, I'll go out with the last penny. You know, that's the goal. That was a story about the little boy of his dad who was reading a newspaper article, and he said this very rich man died. He was down to his last penny. And the little boy said, great timing. But Mary watched him fall, but she watched him rise up. One of the greatest joys of your life is to see your children rise up. Rise up and stand up on their own. And I'm not saying we can't help our kids, but we need to help them, not do for them. If they need money, don't give them the money, loan it to them. Charge them interest, make them pay you back. That's what I do. So you do that to your kids, you're doggone right I do. It's good for them, because I'm not a bank. You want to borrow money? Go to the bank. I don't mind lending it to you if I can, but you're going to pay me for it. Not that I need the money, but they need the lesson. They need to know that. There ain't no free lunch. It's a hard world. And when I'm gone, who's going to take care of them? So you do your kids a favor when you do those things. They will rise up. If you've trained them right, they will rise up and they will call you blessed. That's what the scripture says. And this scripture, that back up on this for just a second. What you learn from them, your parents, will crown you with grace and be a chain of honor around your neck. It'll be an honor. You can be proud of your kids. My mom, as I said, she was so proud of me. I was the first person in our family to ever graduate from college. If my dad would have had a button shirt on, he'd have popped every button off. You know, just to see it happen. When I was offered the presidency of a company in New Orleans, I thought my mom was going to have a heart attack over the thrill of it all. Because I made it there because they taught me the work skills and what I needed to do in order to reach that goal. And I made my mom and dad proud. And when they were old, I'd sit with them, and I told them over and over and over again, both of them, whatever I've accomplished in life, I owe it to you. You taught me. That's the role of a mom and dad. That's our job. We're not to be best friends. If kids want friends, let them go find friends. And you can make sure they don't have the wrong friends. But your job is to be a parent and to take care of a child and train them up. You don't hear that very much anymore. Kind of not in vogue anymore. But I think it ought to be done in the church. You know, when I had church that I used to attend, and we had a lot more young people there. I did a lot of teaching in this area of family. I don't do it much anymore because most of you have already passed that. But there are some principles and some things that we need to teach and bring into our kids. And they will bless you. One day they'll come back to you and say, thank you, Mom, for letting me go. Thank you, Mom, for letting me fall. Thank you, Mom, for loving me enough to let me live my life. They will bless you for it. They won't learn it by themselves. It's your job. Amen? Amen. All right, let's all stand. Hallelujah.